In the first two lessons, we explored how to figure out what's important to you and the bigger why behind it. Now, it's time to put those together. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here to say that almost everybody has some sense of vision already. Most of us think about the future, at least occasionally, and what we'd like the future to look like. Where most people fall short, though, is then creating something tangible with what's around vision in your head. If you stop 100 people on the street in virtually any place in the world, I'd be surprised if you discovered more than 2 or 3 of them that had made their vision tangible in some way. There is a lot of power in making something tangible. Martin Luther King was one of the greatest leaders of our time, but it's not likely we would know his name today were it not for his letters, speeches, and sermons that he created. Maya Angelou's genius would never have been known to the world without her poems, writings, and music. Sally Ride's passion for science, exploration, and breaking barriers became an inspiration for many of us because of her journey into space. There's something powerful about making things tangible and getting them out of our heads. I get the privilege of getting to see this up close with our Academy members. When we dive into focus time during our sessions, I usually make the invitation for members to post something in advance for the rest of our cohort around the question or struggles that they're bringing to us to discuss. It happens all the time that someone then comes to the live session and says, "Well, now that I've written out this problem, I know exactly where you can help me." And sometimes people even resolve the issue just by writing it down. Making something tangible forces us to make a decision about what's important and what to leave out. Harvard professor Michael Porter says, "The essence of strategy is choosing what not to do." If stuff is just floating around in your head, it's easy to go all kinds of different directions on any given day, week, or month. But if you make a vision tangible, it's more clear what's important. I always struggle a bit when our Academy members ask me for example visions as they start making theirs more tangible. Making a vision tangible is really personal, and there's not one right way to do it. There are a lot of right ways for it to emerge. Most commonly, it emerges as a written vision, but it could also be a series of photos or drawings, could be a piece of art or a song, could be a story, might even be a journey or a retreat of some kind. The goal is to create something tangible that helps you stay focused on the future you want. One of my professors in graduate school had created a story for his vision. He articulated it as the morning of his 80th birthday. It included a description of his grandchildren baking a cake with his wife. He pointed out that one of the reasons that that piece of the story was there for him was because it focused him on the larger why of great relationships with his family. If that story was going to come true, he'd need to have created good enough relationships with both his children and his grandchildren so that they would want to be there making a cake for him on his 80th birthday. Well, there's lots of right ways to make a vision tangible. After working with hundreds and hundreds of people over the last 2 decades to do this, there's a few guidelines I found that are helpful for most people. To begin, your biggest whys are the framework for what emerges, just as I mentioned in the last lesson. If your big why is around creating connections with people, your vision will probably have examples of that. If your why is to ignite growth in others, examples of that will emerge. I found that the easiest way to frame a tangible vision is simply to pick a date. There's no hard and fast rule for this, but I find that a 2 to 3 year timeline is ideal for most people. Why 2 to 3 years? Well, it's far enough out that there's a lot you can do to align with what's important, but it's not too far out that you lose context with your current career or stage of life. One thing that I find myself encouraging everyone to do is to frame visions in the present tense. That means that whether it's a written description of a day, story of an interaction, or poem about where you are, that you capture it like it's already happening. That's critical because it gives you an objective to shoot for. When the blueprints are drawn up for buildings, they don't try to capture what things will look like when the project is only half done. How would the builder be able to follow plans from an architect if they didn't know what the final product looked like? In the same way, you'll have a much easier time aligning with your vision if you capture what things look like in 2 to 3 years, the end result on that date. So here's an example of how this might sound if it showed up in writing. It's 3 years from today, on the morning of March 13th. I climb out of bed at 5:30, put on my running shoes, and start walking down the stairs. A smile comes to my face as I step outside the house and smell the humid air and morning dew on the plants. Do you hear that? It's like it's already happening, as clear in your mind as if it was going on right now. That so you have something to work towards. And yes, it's useful to go into that kind of detail as much as you can, as much as you can see, at least as much as you would if you were drawing up the detailed blueprint for a project. After all, isn't where you're heading in your work and life at least as important as any building you'd be involved in creating? Regardless of the medium you've chosen to capture your vision, whether it's writing or visually or in art, bring it alive with those kind of details. And then zero in on what's most important. That's where the work you did in the last two lessons will support what goes in here. Now, rather than trying to capture 15 to 20 things in your vision and glossing over each of them a bit, I encourage you to capture 3 to 5 of the things that are most important and then describe them in detail. What's happening? Who's there? What are people talking about? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What are the people important to you saying in the future? What data points, if applicable, could you measure? That way, when you see those things happening at a later date, those are indicators to you that you're on the right track. Frame the future around your big whys. What's important about why these things have emerged in your life? Say that, write that out, or create that in poetry or however it emerges. And remember, like I mentioned in the first lesson, it's okay to buy into someone else's vision or to have some part of your vision inspired from others. Most of us find inspiration in the work of others. Of course, your vision won't emerge exactly as you describe. That's okay. That's necessary. Buildings don't emerge exactly as they are first drawn on blueprints either. There's always changes that come along the way. But a clear vision guides the path and keeps you centered on what's most important. It's why Dwight Eisenhower once remarked, "Plans are worthless, but planning is everything." Making your vision tangible may come quickly, or it might take time. My invitation to you is to start. Set aside 15 minutes after this lesson and begin to frame your vision in some tangible way. Do that until something emerges that you're ready to latch onto. Decide what medium is right for you to make it tangible. Then go into detail in what it looks like 2 to 3 years from now. Zero in on the 3 to 5 important things that you already discovered earlier in this course and frame it around your why. If you will do that, you'll have created more intention for what's next in your career and life than most people ever do.